Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus will soothe my troubled mind and all of my heartaches. Every burden, every lie they told on me, all of my misery, every trial, every tribulation will be left behind. Most true God, how awesome you are in this place. Oh God, there's none like you. There's none before you. Oh God, you're worthy to be praised. And so now we pray in Jesus' name. Oh God, that you would take this your service. Oh God, I'm not worthy to stand behind this your sacred desk, but I pray now that even now that you would begin to deposit bits of your divinity into my spirit, Lord God, that in such a way that when I speak, you speak, and when I talk, you do the talking. You be the preacher and I hold the microphone. Now, Lord, scan the sanctuary for anything that may be contradiction to your word. Father, unstop the ears of your people that they may hear. And Lord, we don't come to impress anybody, but we've come to impact lives. So now, Lord, pin my ear to the fence post of your wisdom. Whisper unto me your sacred truth. You be the preacher, I'll be the voice. Have mine own perfect will and way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we give God praise? Amen. Hallelujah. Now we ought to, I said, let's pray. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Come on, for about 15 seconds, give God your best praise. Hallelujah. Come on, for about 15 more seconds, give God your best praise. You, come on, say, he said, next to him, all we can see, what? Hey, yes, he is, hey! I know it's too early for that, I just feel good, yes, sir. I just felt a hallelujah in my spirit. I gotta get that. Y'all was bothering me earlier, and I was trying to wait and hold on till it was my turn. But hallelujah! Somebody said the preacher ain't supposed to do that till the end, but y'all know I ain't normal. Is there anybody here that can stand up and testify that it was Jesus? Nobody but Jesus. Say yes, say yes. Somebody said he brought the weight to level, but he's been good right now. You ain't got to wait, but you can praise him. Thank you. sit on down. Y'all have to excuse old Rep Johnson. I've been needing to get that out since I walked out the pastor's study. That's just for me, huh? I know you ain't supposed to hoop and holler till after the message, but I ain't really no protocol preacher. When I feel it, I just give it. That's just where it is. And I make no apologies about that because he's worthy. See, if he's been good to you, then you don't have to, you have the right to remain silent. But if he's been good to you, I ain't talking about just got my job and come. I'm talking about been good. Been good. Hallelujah. 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 I'm a praiser and I make no apologies about it. Hallelujah. Somebody said the hour's already far spent. Well, let me give you your benediction now. Now may the grace of God, the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with you both now and forever until we meet again. Now, you're free to go now. But I just have to get that praise out of my spirit. Excuse me for a moment. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hey, my God, my God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. I feel a yes. Yes, God. Whatever you want. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Somebody just need to tell him yes. You've been telling him no all week. You need to say yes. Yes to your will. Yes to your yes, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Hallelujah. Woo, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Certainly we give. I'm waiting on the Spirit to give me a green light to move on here. Hey, God. Hallelujah. God just put that in my spirit. Tell him to worship me. Come on, just worship him. Just worship him. Come on. Just worship him. Come on, just worship him. Must be something to go on in his word. God is setting the stage for the word. Come on, just worship him. Just sing. Hallelujah. You ain't got to be able to sing to say that. Just say, hallelujah. Come on, just worship him today. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to preach, but just go on and worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy of every hallelujah. Lord, you've been so wonderful, yeah. You've done so much for us, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you've been so good to us. Lord, you're so wonderful. Done so much for me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your name, God. Yes, God. Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good, that's good. Amen. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Certainly. We give reverence and honor and glory to our God in his Trinity existence, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I oftentimes say that I reference all three because he's God in all three. I don't pick and choose which God is going to be my God. He's all of them in the same one. Hallelujah. I thank God for your pastor, Pastor Michael Morgan. Give him a hand today. Amen. My God. My God. You know, I'm kind of nervous because Pastor is here. And so I got to make sure I got all my preaching stuff right so I don't get in trouble. Amen. He's still a pastor and therefore a mentor of mine. And I dare not take for granted his leadership in my life and for him allowing me the opportunity to preach here at this Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church. Amen. I do thank God for him because this is his pulpit and you are his sheep. And I thank God that he still continues to take a chance on little old Rev Johnson to come back and continue to preach. And something tells me that he don't allow everybody behind this desk to preach to his people. And I count it a privilege and a joy that he continues to call and use me. And you know, when God knows everything he knows about you and he still wants to use you, that's enough to praise God for. Now, when you ain't, I'm not talking about those who've been good all their life. I'm just talking about those of us who done messed up a little bit. And God still wants to use you. It's a good reason to give him praise. Hallelujah. To all of these deacons, to the deacons and the church family, I ain't no visitor. I belong here. This is my church, my family, and I'm not here to prove nothing to nobody. And I'll preach if you pray, and I believe if you pray, I'll try to preach, and we're going to try to see what we can do, all right? Amen. All right, if you'll meet me in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, and that is our theme scripture, right? 36 through 38, is that what it is? All right, we're going to stick with that today. And if you'll meet me there, again, we're going to start at the 36th verse. And we'll conclude at verse 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. I believe we ought to stand for the reading of God's word. And all right, and it reads. Yeah, make sure everybody found it. Everybody found it? Amen. I don't want you to think I'm making any of this up. I want you to understand this is not my word, but his. And it reads, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Yeah. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want to talk about heaven is hiring. Heaven is hiring. Many of you who've been knowing me for quite some time don't know that I'm a musician. I play drums. I was kind of skeptical of letting that out because I don't want y'all to ask me to play. But I've been playing drums all of my life. I got a nice set of my own at home, and occasionally I play for a few folks and a few people. But one particular time, this young man came up to me in church, and he saw that I had my drum set up, and he said, I want a drum set just like that. And I told him how expensive the drum set was, and he said, you give me a few months, I'm going to save up, and I'm going to buy me a drum set, that brand and that color and everything. And so the young man had went, and 6 months later, he called me up, and he said, man, I got my drum set. And he called me, and he says, but I have a problem. I don't know how to assemble it. I don't know how to put it together. Young man was a beginner, but he saved up all his money because he wanted to get this nice drum set. And so he called me up. And so I left my house and went over to his house and saw his harvest, if you will, his blessing, if you will, scattered all across the living room. And he had his harvest, but he had nobody and no skill to help him harvest his harvest.
had nobody to help him put together what God had blessed him with. And you do know what God puts together, no man can put asunder. So this young man, he had these drums now, and him not being a very skillful percussionist, he called over somebody he knew had the intelligence and the skill and the know-how to put together what he had been saving up and working to obtain. You and I are just like this young man, because we too have been exposed to and experienced a harvest. A harvest. What is a harvest? I'm glad you asked. A harvest is the process of gathering mature crops from the fields. The harvest marks the end of the growing season of a particular crop.
Yeah.
The harvest. Now, in order to digest and understand the flavor of this passage of scripture that is your theme scripture, you've got to understand the word harvest and what it means. So don't let me bore you now. I've got to teach a little bit about what a harvest means, because in order to appreciate what heaven is hiring for, you've got to understand what the harvest is. We know what a harvest is now, but how does it happen? Well, in order to understand how a harvest happens, you must understand the laws of sowing and reaping. That is a godly biblical law by which God himself abides by, their sowing and their reaping. You've heard the phrase in the Bible, you reap what you sow. And that's good news for some folks, and there's also bad news for some folks. It just depends on what you've been sowing will determine what you've been reaping. But when you sow into the right grounds, that are grounds of fertile ground, like the church. And some of us have been sowing into the wrong ground, and we ain't gonna call out the grounds you've been sowing in, like the casino and, you know, the strip bar and the bar and all that. Those are the things that are not fertile grounds to sow into. And you know, believers, we must not look at our money as cash we spend, but we ought to look at it as seeds we sow. And our money ought to be sown in fertile grounds. But that ain't what I came to talk about. You got to, in other words, a harvest is what you reap when you have sown. The harvest marks it is one of the biblical laws. Once the seed is sown into the ground, then it is watered. Now, anytime you find the word water in the Bible, it is a biblical representation of two things: the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The word water is always symbolic of the two, or both, or one or the other. So when you deposit your seed into fertile ground, it has to be nourished with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now, not only that, but it has to have some sunlight. The sun has to be shining on your crop, on your seed, in order for it to bring forth a mature fruit. And when the fruit or the crop breaks the ground and it starts to develop, once it reaches its full potential, in other words, when you plant an apple and it comes out of the ground or comes off the vine as a full-blown ripe apple, it is now what you call a harvest. When it has reached its full level of maturity. So what, if we understand what is a harvest, we understand what is harvesting, that will determine that the word harvest is not just a noun, but the word harvest can also be a verb. Harvest means, in other words, so what you're telling me, Reverend Johnson, is that I got a harvest, but I also must do some harvesting. Harvesting means that when I see that my crop has come in, that's where my work begins. See, when God's work begins, when you put it in the ground and you've got to step back, I'm in Bible country, let him do the watering. You just plant the seed. And so watch this now. Once the harvest comes up, is where the harvester's got to come in at. That's where the harvester. So with all that being said, one of the main problems with the church is it's not that we're not obtaining a harvest, but we're having trouble maintaining the harvest. We must see people as a harvest and therefore an opportunity for ministry. Do you understand what harvest is, this harvest thing is about now? Does it make sense to you? All right. Now, in order to understand what Jesus meant by the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. He says, in our text today, Matthew invites our thinking to the city of Capernaum in Galilee. The majority of Jesus' ministry was spent here in this city. And so Capernaum was a poverty-stricken city filled with a diverse crowd of sinners and church folks, or religious church rulers, the Bible calls them. And so throughout the chapter, Matthew gives five accounts of miracles that take place, one right after the other. And with each miracle, the crowd grows larger than with two types of people. Religious rulers, which are law-enforcing church folks. And then people who stand in need of a miracle themselves. So this crowd, with every miracle, there are five miracles that take place. That one of them was what the lame man forgiven of his sin and was now able to walk, that they brought to Jesus. Then this sick little girl shows up who's 12 years old, who was sick unto death, and Jesus shows up late because he was dealing with the third miracle, which was this woman with issues. She had an issue of blood that continued to flow. And then the second, I ain't gonna deal with that woman with issues. That's a whole other sermon. But then these two blind men show up that Jesus has to heal. And then the last one is this dumb man possessed with a devil. You got five miracles that take place, and every time Jesus performed a miracle, the crowd got bigger. And you know, that's when you know you are really doing some great ministry, is when people start showing up. Now, you're going to draw two types of people. Some people that really need your ministry, and you're going to draw some people that just want to spectate. See, many use the fact that Jesus hung out with sinners to justify their failure to abstain from all appearances of evil. So you know those folks that hang out with the wrong crowd, and they say, well, Jesus hung out with the wrong crowd. Well, no, Jesus didn't draw, the crowd didn't draw Jesus. Jesus drew the crowd. And so, but notice here, see, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll do the drawing. And so now, some churches are just swelling, but they're not growing. There's a difference between swelling and growing. See, some churches are big because they have swelled up. And then some churches are big because they have grown up. And the difference between a swelling and a growing is when you swell, it's because there's some sort of, if you think about this medically now, in order, when something on your body swells, there seems to be something wrong. There is an infection on the inside that's starting to make its way to the outside, and things that would normally be flat become bigger. And that's what happens even church. Church is the in thing to do now. It's in style. It's a fad to go to church now. So we've got a lot of churches that are not treating people's issues, but we got a lot of churches that's conducting a country club membership. They feel comfortable coming to church and being wrong. They feel comfortable coming to church drunk. They feel comfortable coming to church and whoring around. They feel comfortable coming to church and their sexuality is not lined up with the will of God. That's because they ain't got a church. The church is swelling and not growing. Well, you can tell them I said it. I ain't got to run from now, devil. I ain't scared of it at all. The problem is we've got to learn to quit, stop having church and start being the church. So Jesus says, man, this crowd is becoming pretty big. And I don't think he was just talking about the multitude that was laying before his eyes. But I think Jesus was really talking also about the multitude of people that were going to come after he died. You know, you and I, all of us folks in the world, that he says, man, the harvest is plenty, but we've got nobody to do any harvesting. We've got nobody to do any laboring. And laborers are those who clean the fish, or the crop will spoil. See, if you don't clean your harvest will spoil. And I'm afraid that's another problem with some of our churches. It's not that we're not harvesting, not that we don't have a crop or that we don't have a harvest, but we fail to have people to clean and tend to the harvest, and therefore we have a spoiled harvest in our church. And then there's this foul odor that you're trying to figure out where is this spiritual foul odor coming from, and that's because you got your church filled with people who have stinking thinking. Stinking thinking in the way they process things. They're in the right place. They're in the right, they're behind the right pastor, but they have not been matured, and so they start to spoil in the house of God. What do you do when you are in church and you start dying? Because nobody is pouring into your life. What do you do when you have been born and raised into the church and all you've been taught is the rituals and the rules, but nobody is ministering to your spirit and depositing divinity in your soul? What happens when we start spoiling people? Putting band-aids on folks instead of curing the real problem that lies within. Oh, we got picnics and programs and parties going on, but do you have any ministry going on? So God will not tolerate a foul odor in his house. God, cleanliness is next to godliness, and God says if anybody's house gonna be clean, it's gonna be mine. And so consequently, heaven has now posted a want ad for it's hiring for harvesters. And I know some of us are like, yeah, I want to work for the kingdom. Yeah, want to work for the kingdom, and I want to go to work for heaven because I know heaven pays well. I know heaven's got some good benefits. Heaven has a good CEO. Yes, sir. Heaven has a good benefit program. But can I just be candid and honest with you? Yeah, you're right. Does have a good CEO and some good benefits. But you got to meet some qualifications. Yeah, you did some things. Yeah, everybody can't work for the kingdom. There are some things that you're going to have to obtain, and there are some qualifications you've got to have if you want to work for the kingdom. You the first thing you've got to have if you're going to work for the kingdom is you've got to be sent. I'm in the Bible now. Verse 38 says, let me go back up there where it says, you want to take my word. Pray ye therefore, this is Jesus talking, the Lord of the harvest. In other words, it ain't my harvest, it's his harvest. That he will send forth laborers. Talk to me. Come on, holler at your boy one time, man. I ain't making this up. See, some of us weren't sent, we just went. Some preachers ain't. Let me get back to the outline here. I ain't scared. I said some preachers ain't sick. They just got up and went. And see, every time God is pulling on you, it don't mean it's always you call to preach the gospel. Sometimes God's just calling you to repent and get your life right. And some preachers have been given, some churches have been given birth to preachers that ain't called to preach. They just call to live better. See, Jesus responds to this by praying for more preachers that are sent by God. I don't think we have a shortage of preachers right now. No, we ain't short. We ain't got the pulpit is definitely not empty. We have a shortage of sent preachers. Mic check testing 1, 2, 3. You can holler at your boy. We have a shortage of those, and that's why heaven is hiring, because it's hiring for those that God has been sending out. And the phrase sent forth means to drive out with a force. It's a word picture of an army that's been deployed to grounds of war. The word sent, the phrase sent forth is really a word picture of an army that has been sent into the battlegrounds of the world to do battle with the enemy. See, that's why you got to be sent. Because if you ain't been sent and you just went, when you come up against them folks, they gonna send you back. See, the text says he will send forth laborers. Those employed by God must be sent by God. This work is not for those that just got up and went. See, just because, now watch this now, just because, I know this is going to mess up some of our theology, and that's fine with me. Jesus, just because you are, see, just because you are called, don't mean God sent you. No, you ain't like that. Let me make this plain for you. See, there is a process to God using you. He calls you. When he calls you out of something to call you into something else. And then once you finally get out of something and into something else, then he starts preparing you. But some of us been called out of some stuff and we just start going. But we ain't been into what God is trying to shape us and mold us, so you stepped out into your calling too early. And ain't nothing, the only thing worse than a preacher that ain't been sent is a premature preacher that's been went out too early. Ain't nothing more frustrating to a pastor than when he puts a leader in place that ain't ready for leadership. Oh, she's called to it. He's called to it. But she ain't ready for it yet. It's still some things that that person ain't let go yet.
All right.
That's good. So once you accept the call, you must be properly conditioned in order to do any harvesting. That's why the Bible says he qualifies the called. He don't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. See, he don't call folks that's qualified already. Because see, you'll think everything you do is about you. I know it ain't nobody like that in our churches. I'm just talking about, I'm just saying. So that's why. So just because the call don't mean the qualified. See, you can be called and still not be qualified. You remember Judas? Judas was called, but he wasn't qualified. That's why he got disqualified, because he was not qualified to do the harvest. But Jesus did call him. He laid his hands on him and chose him. See, God's qualifying process teaches you before he sends you. His ministry is, it teaches you these things. Number one, it teaches you that his ministry is first.
All right, yeah.
I don't want to make nobody mad, but your family is not first.
All right.
Mic check, testing, 1, 2, 3. There's nowhere in scripture where it says your family comes first. The Bible says, in the same book we're talking from today, in just a few chapters up in chapter 6, seek ye first, not your family, the kingdom of God. I don't preach nothing but the Bible. I ain't making none of this up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all that other stuff you want, that'll be added. But you got to get him first. And see, when you've been sent, you understand that it ain't about my family. You know, you got to be careful what you preach about sometimes. You know, that was one of my third messages. I preached, seek ye first, the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and I preached on that. And then a week later, my little girl, she was a baby then, she was my firstborn. And my little girl got sick, had a first severe asthma attack. About 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, and she's in the ambulance. My wife is in the ambulance with her, and I'm riding behind them in the car. And I get a call from church saying, hey, pastor's sick, and he's not going to make it to 8 o'clock service. Can you come and preach? And so right then, I'm following the ambulance behind my daughter. Now, mind you, I'm a new daddy. My baby ain't been here but a few months. And now she's wrestling with a severe asthma attack. My wife, she and I had only been married for a few months, so I know if I call and tell her I got to go preach at church, she ain't feeling that. Oh, come on, talk to me one time. I know y'all sisters saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, but your husband, you let your husband call you, tell you, he finna go to church, and y'all on the way to the hospital? Yeah, I'm glad my wife ain't here, because I can talk about her now, but I didn't even call her. And I just turned around and I prayed all the way to church and I preached And three people accepted Christ. And what I learned from that was that even if I had went to the hospital, I was still going to have to leave my baby in the hands of God anyway. So I learned that I have to do what only I can do, which is preach to God's people and trust God in my absence to do what only He can do. See, God don't need our supervision in the hospital room. He don't need your divine assistance. God don't need you to help him or help old poor God out like he's struggling and need you to help him. He don't need you. And a lot of us, you have to understand, you do your part and let him do his part. Now, I ain't going to tell you the rest of the story about what happened when I finally got to the hospital. Because, yeah, some of you sisters probably can fill in the blank. But we still married. I mean, we made it. But watch this now. The test came back again with my second daughter, because my second daughter was born on Sunday morning. Now, I am not one to miss church. And so I'm at the hospital. My baby girl is being born, and my pastor is out of town. He's preaching a revival out of town. And so, again, the same situation happened. I mean, we got about 3-4 other preachers that were supposed to be there, but none of them were there. We all had preaching engagements. And so the problem is, so they called me again. Say, man, ain't nobody here. And I said, well, my baby, oh, no, you need to stay here. And my wife says, baby, you need to go to church. Me and God got this right here. See, there's a level of maturity. See, at some point, this thing got to get real with you to the point to where you have to choose between him or you. And that's why your family is not first. But not only have they, so that's the first thing. We got to be sent. The other part of it, what I really want to deal with, is that you have to be spiritual. The Bible says in verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them.
Yeah.
That word compassion is in reference to a spiritual move of God. This was a move of the Holy Spirit. Why is it so easy for us to spread waste, but not the word? Because we have no passion. Why did he have so much compassion? Well, the multitude, you got to understand what the multitude is. This ain't just a group of people, but the multitude represents a condition. It is a condition or a spiritual state of being. The people who are labeled by their lifestyle, they are defined by their dilemma. We don't even know their name, but we know what they did. You ever heard people like that? They always call you. They don't know your name and know nothing about you, but they know you according to what you've done. The one that cheated on? Yeah. And they label you according to what you have done. When people define you, they can confine you. That's why you don't allow people to define you according to your circumstance. You don't let people define you, the one that ain't never got no money. No. It ain't what people call you, it's what you answer to. And so they were cast out. Now watch this. Now these were the multitude. This is why Jesus said they were like sheep without a shepherd, because the church was readily available to them, but the church cast them out because of who they were, because they didn't look like them, because they didn't walk like them, because they didn't dress like them, because they didn't talk churchy like they talk churchy, because they didn't speak in the same tongue they spoke in. So the church cast these multitudes out. These were a bunch of rejects of the civil city, and so they were cast out by the church. Did you hear that too? They were cast out by the church. You know, can I just keep it 100? You know, the church is the only army that shoot and kill its own wounded. We are the worst. You know, the worst pain, if I just pass this microphone, some of us could just testify, some of the worst pain you have ever experienced is from church folks. I mean, religious Negroes, they're just righteous, and they always got a judgmental statement for you. Well, you ain't supposed to do that. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you're not supposed to help people, but that's why Jesus was spiritual. Jesus was spiritual. You can't live by the flesh and handle the harvest of the church. Those who are spiritual, not critical. Not nosy, not judgmental, but spiritual. See, a lot of us think that spiritual thing is just about not living the same way. But you can be fleshy and be nosy, and fleshy and be judgmental and be critical. Some folks ain't calling to get in to find out if you all right. Some folks calling to be nosy so they can have something spread. That's why you can't tell your problems to everybody. Jesus had compassion. He said you can't live by the flesh and harvest the church. So those who are spiritual, Galatians 6:1 said, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such. Watch this, gotta keep reading. Unless you also be tempted. See, we forget that part. We think we have arrived on some level of holiness. That we think we done learned a few Sunday school lessons, and now we teaching, and now all of a sudden you forgot that you ain't but that far away from falling back into the life you used to live in. And if the truth be told, and we followed you home, you ain't just been delivered from some stuff, but some stuff you still doing. You don't want nobody to know. Said last time, some of us ain't been delivered, we just got too old for it. That don't mean you ain't doing it no more. It just means you can't do it no more. You don't want to. You want to. But you just can't. And so you ain't really hoping somebody be delivered. You just mad because they doing what you...
Move right along here.
Jesus had compassion for the people. He said we must first be passionate about people. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Did you get that? If you don't remember nothing else I said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They don't care about how many scriptures you quote to them. They don't care about how often you've been to church. They don't care if you know all the gospel songs. They don't care if you know about teaching parts. Some of the most successful preachers, pastors, and church leaders in church today are those who simply care about people. People are our business.
That's right, that's right.
The church is a business. I don't care what they say. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. The church is a business, but our business and our profit is not money. Our profit is soul.
All right.
And we've got to understand that the harvest is plentiful.
Yeah.
But we need some laborers that understand that we are about soul winning. And this is a business that's in business for people. When did the church become so commercialized that we've gotten so caught up in ATM machines in the lobby, and we've gotten so caught up in the screens in the sanctuary, and who got the best website, and who got the best tailor-made suit on, and who got the best choir, and who got the best musician, and who sang it on the watch night service? Why we can't just be interested in people? So sick of churches have gotten so corporate they ain't Christ-like. Gotten so business-minded and so earthly-minded that you ain't no heavenly good. You just a church that's pretty on the outside, but all your crops are spoiling on the inside. And you got a big old pretty building that stinks in God's nose. Also, need those. You know why? You got to have compassion. Compassion makes you relate to people.
Amen.
See, it's one thing when you can encourage somebody with what you've read. It's another thing when you can encourage somebody with what you've been taught. But it's one whole different thing when you can encourage me on something you've been through yourself. See, One of the problems that the world has with our church is that we can't relate to folks. We don't want to be transparent as laborers. We don't want to tell them that we used to smoke. We don't want to tell them that we used to deal drugs. We don't want to tell them that we used to sleep with married men. That you used to sleep with married women, and you used to, you know, you was in an abusive relationship. You don't want nobody to know your business, and you don't want to be transparent. But watch this now. People that don't know Christ will trust you if they can relate to you. It's easy to sit in that big old pulpit in that big old nice chair and preach the word of God. But can you come sit down next to me and say, baby, I understand, because my kid's bad too. I understand why you slapped that little joke. I understand why you turned to drugs. Because, see, it's easy to preach. You ain't supposed to steal. But tell that to some young man who tried it the right way and still watching his mama suffer and can't make ends meet. And so he turned to a drug dealer that gave him something to let him hold on to. And ever since then, he started dealing. What do you tell somebody who's successful, a young black successful professional who's been doing it right and been doing it fine without God? How do you minister to them? See, it's got to be something on the inside of you that can relate to something that's on the inside of them. That's where compassion comes from. And if you can't relate, then you can't harvest them. See, brokenness speaks to brokenness. That's why Jesus came down. You know what? Jesus came down not just to die for us, but he came down to relate to us. He cried like us. He hurt like us. He bled like us. He talked like us. He moved like us. He God took all of his divinity and wrapped it in the envelope of flesh and sent it priority mail overnight in the form and left him in a manger. And so he came up. He wanted to be born through a woman like us. He wanted to walk the streets like us. He can relate to us. And that's the mighty God we serve. That don't just preach about it, but he became and experienced it to show us how to live it.
Yeah.
Well, not only do we have to have those who are sent, not only do you have to be spiritual, but in closing, you also have to be a servant. If you go up to verse, somebody find verse 11 for me, if you will. Somebody find verse 11 for me. Wait, find verse 11 in the same chapter, verse 11 and 12. I want you to read that for me. I don't want nobody to think I wrote my own Bible up here. Somebody find that verse. Just scroll up to verse 11. Stand up and read that for me if you got it. Chapter 9, verse 11.
And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?
And verse 12, what does verse 12 say?
But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they said, behold, these not a physician, but they that are sick.
Why? Jesus says, in response to these church folks, why are you hanging out with all these, you know, sinners and tax collectors? And Jesus responds by saying, sick folks need a doctor, not well folks.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I learned? If the church is anything, the church is a hospital for sick folks.
Uh-huh.
You don't come to the hospital because everything is going fine. You go because something is wrong. And can I just bust your little saved, sanctified, spiritual bubble? It's something wrong with all of us. From the pulpit to the pew. You better turn on the TV. That's why that mess with Eddie Long didn't shock me. It don't shock me. He's a man. He's still a man. With manly issues. With manly problems. Who are we to judge? And I'm not saying he shouldn't be punished or that he should be punished. That's not my job. All I'm saying is he's still a man. And I think the problem is we start to put these pastors and preachers on pedestals they're not worthy to stand on. They are still men. And I'm telling you something right now. You better be careful who you trust around you and in your house. Because I don't care how anointed they are still human. Putting people above sin, we gonna mess up. Can I just be humble, keep it 100 with you? You catch me on the wrong day. Come on, talk to me. Just be humble. Just keep it 100. I'm a preacher. I know I'm called and sent by God, but there are times in my life where I'm not as spiritual as I should be. If you catch me and I'm not prayed up, you might get a few words from me that you ain't gonna want to hear no more. Because if you be honest with yourself, all of us got some days. You got some days. Don't come on, creepy 100. Well, we ain't gonna tell nobody else. You got your days? Yeah. And so church folks who criticized Jesus was for his working with the multitude all the way until he died. And see, Jesus wasn't killed. He gave his life. It was his love that helped him, held him to the cross. It was not nails. The question was asked to me, whom do we serve, God or man? And, you know, people ask, somebody asked me a question, whom we serve? I said, well, I believe we serve man. Well, because you got to understand, what does serve mean? Serve in the Bible means minister. It means to harvest. It means to encourage or speak to or preach to, pray for. God don't need you to pray for him. God don't need you to minister to him. God needs us. He employs us to serve people so they can minister and serve other people so God can get the glory. And that's why his love kept him to the cross for us. Isn't it funny? And watch this now. It was not until, if you notice, that when Jesus started dying, when he was dying, the sun refused to shine. That's because every time the world turns its back on the sun, it gets dark. Jesus said we need laborers, not just employees, not just folks who ride the clock, not just folks who just at church but ain't doing nothing. We got too many church folks who just sitting around criticizing ministry and talking about ministry, but they ain't doing no ministry. Got something to say all the time. Jesus said the healthy don't need a doctor. If the church is anything, it's a hospital. Jesus teaches them by fellowshipping with sinners that he comes to minister. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. All right. So if you're going to be employed by God, God is looking for those who are sent by him. He's looking for those who will serve for him. And he's looking for those who are spiritual. God is looking for people who will work for him independent of their own mentality. God don't need you to be your own boss. God needs you to work for him and let him be. It's not a democracy. It's a dictatorship. Whatever he says is what we do. People are our business. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Heaven is hiring. Heaven is hiring, and you ought to apply. God bless you. May he keep you.
Heaven is hiring. And if you are an available individual, it's a good thing about the hiring of heaven. You don't have to qualify. He will qualify you. All you need to do is come. God qualifies those that are called. He's already qualified us through Christ. He says if you just simply embrace the application and allow the application to be applied to your soul, he says I'll come in and I will qualify you. Because the blood of Jesus has made us whole. So if you're here today and you don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, I want to invite you to come to Jesus. The Bible says that all you need to do is believe on him as the scriptures have said. He says that with the heart man believeth and with the mouth confession is made. Simply says, just come to me as you are. Repent of your sins and say, Lord, save me. I embrace you as my Savior and Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. He'll come in and do that just for you. If you're here today and you don't know him in the parting of your sins, I first want to invite you to come. While the church is standing and the music is being played, I want to invite you to come. Let it take all day, don't take all night. You've heard enough about the Lord to come on right now. You can run to the mercy seat and say, Lord, here I am, just as I am. Allow him to come in and establish himself in you anew. Maybe you are here and You say, Pastor, I'm already saved, I'm already filled, I'm already walking with the Lord, but I simply just need a church home. I need you to know that every sheep needs a shepherd. I need you to know that God is calling and He's qualified. All you need to do is come. The doors of the church are open. You may come by letter, Christian experience, candidate for baptism, but whatever you do, we want to invite you to come. Allow this to be the day that God begins to establish Himself in you anew. So here I am, God. Just as I am, God. Do for me, O God, what only you can do. If you're here, if there's another. As we honor the Lord on today. Hallelujah. If there's another. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Heaven is hiring. Heaven is hiring. Hallelujah. Let the Lord send you. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Heaven is hiring. Not only is He hiring, but He's justified. Establishing Himself. God bless you. Let us hear from our secretary this time. Thank you.